When did I say I wouldn't record something separate?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special crossover episode of the Comics of Doom and Gotham Central podcast. I'm here with Hunter Camp, who is my co-host on both shows. Hunter Camp.
That's me.
And we have a special guest, the one and only Frank Ramblings. Hello, Franklin.
Hunter Camp. Hunter Camp.
We wanted to have Frank on because he got to do something that Hunter Camp could only dream of, and that is actually speak to and talk to Kevin Conroy at the world premiere of Superman Batman Apocalypse. So, Frank,
yeah,
we'd like to get you to share your experience with us and let us know what you thought about Superman Batman Apocalypse. So that's why
it.
Oh, go ahead.
No.
And he's also doing something that separate from that, that is very, very relative to the storyline that's going on in Superman Batman Apocalypse.
That is true.
So, Frank, why don't you tell us a little bit about Thought Bubble Audio?
Okay, we can start there. Thought Bubble Audio is a little production company that I have started along with a couple of friends, most notably Mr. Tim Gannon, who's been on this show before, and our friend Faith, a.k.a. Theron Solo, Justin's friend.
Yeah!
And we started this little company where we want to do audio dramas based on our favorite comic book storylines. And the one we chose to start off with is the same story that Apocalypse is based on, which is Superman, Batman, Supergirl. The original graphic novel written by Jeff Loeb and illustrated by Michael Turner. Amazing, amazing book that I love, and it's one of my favorite graphic novels. Second volume of the Superman, Batman series. And we chose to start off with that because it's a really strong story with really good character development. And it's a really fun story. And we thought it would be a good one to tackle in terms of voice work. It would be easy enough to do for our first outing, but still challenging. And Mr. Hunter Camp is actually featured in the production.
He is voicing
a very menacing and chilling Darkseid. In our production.
Yeah.
That's him. That is him. The voice of fear right there. The
Apocalypse.
Voice of death and destruction.
The king of Apocalypse.
And everything you hate is Hunter Camp.
Okay.
That explains so many things in Justin's life.
The anti-Hunter equation is me.
Yes. Yes.
That is
exactly.
It. That is it. You just solved it. So, yeah. We've been working on that for several months now. And we're about halfway done with the recording, and we're ready to come back and do the second half soon. So we're hoping to get to start releasing it once everything's all edited. So looking at late this year, early next year, we will start hitting your podcast feeds. But it's thoughtbubbleaudio.com.
That is brilliant, Mr. Ramblings. We're looking forward to that, and everyone else out there, please look forward to that as well. So let's get right into our review of Superman Batman Apocalypse. Now, here on the Comics of Doom podcast, we like to make it a point of reviewing all of these DC, all of the comic book animated movies, whether it be Marvel or DC. But I feel like Marvel has slacked off in the recent months, and DC has really picked up and ran away with the baton. So Superman Batman Apocalypse, based on the story that Frank mentioned earlier, the Jeff Loeb, Michael Turner, Superman, Batman arc that reintroduced Supergirl, Kara Zor-El, back into the DC universe. So I was really excited when I saw this when this was announced as the next animated movie, because I love that arc. And Michael Turner, RIP, was one of my favorite comic artists of all time. So when he did that Supergirl, I was very interested because he had previously really stuck to covers mostly. And that was I think that might have been my first chance to see him on interiors, so I was really excited at that prospect. So let's get each one of your thoughts on, I guess, the comic and the film. How about we start off with Hunter Camp?
It is really good. It's one of the better runs in Superman Batman, I guess, the series. It's really good. That's really all I can say about it. I love any kind of dark side storyline. So to see that I just liked it a lot. I mean, that's pretty much all I can say about the graphic novel, other than Frank has already gone into specifics about stuff. And obviously Michael Turner's art is fantastic. The writing's great. It's when Jeff Loeb was still on a really, really good streak.
I remember that.
Yeah. So I mean, like the start off run for Superman Batman was really strong, and now it's not as good, nearly as good, but I mean that was a really good storyline.
Mm.
Yeah. Agreed. I mean, it's just an outstanding story. Those first two trades of that series are just so gripping and so much fun to read because of that split panel thing that Jeff Loeb is always doing, and that still continues in the series today. But back then, it was really fresh and new, and he had a really specific way of doing it, a really distinct way of doing it, I should say, that really grabbed me as a reader. And Michael Turner's art is just beautiful,
and he understood both of them. So
absolutely,
And I felt like that
one of the few writers.
Yeah, I felt like that was something that was lost in the movies. Both in Superman Batman Public Enemies and then with this one, Superman Batman Apocalypse, because they don't have that storytelling device. They can't really – I mean, they could do voiceover in their heads, but they chose not to go that route. So I feel like that's something that I really missed from the comics, because I did love that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something that doesn't really transfer to the screen very well.
Mm-hmm. And even if you did voiceovers, it wouldn't be as cool.
It wouldn't.
It'd have to theoretically go on at the exact same time, so –
I think we all enjoyed Superman Batman Public Enemies, which was the first kind of adaptation of this storyline, and that it was something that was so popular that it spawned this sequel and this successful now this kind of franchise almost they're setting up with the Superman Batman animateds. And I was really glad to see all of our favorites come back in the voice cast. Kevin Conroy is Batman, Tim Daly is Superman.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was a little disappointed that, I think I talked to Frank about this earlier, Michael Ironside could not reprise his role as Darkseid.
I would have done it for free, I'm just saying.
I would have taken Hunter Camp, you don't have the Ironside, I don't know what it is, but he has something that is a menacing presence, and I felt like, is it Andre Brower?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think he's a good actor, but I felt like his dark side, I wasn't afraid of him, I wasn't scared of him, and he just...
Yeah, it was more mellow, which was weird. I mean, it was still somewhat intimidating, very dark, but it wasn't menacing like you were saying.
Yeah, and that was, to me, I loved the Michael Ironside whenever Darkseid appeared on the Superman animated series, and then, did he appear on Justice League? I forgot.
I think so.
Yeah. I just loved whenever that character came in. So the basic story, like I said, was it's this Superman Batman Apocalypse. It's reintroducing Supergirl back into the DC Universe after perishing in Crisis on Infinite Earths. And then there was some other Supergirl clone that came in. There was some other weird stuff. But this
Matrix.
Was the, yes. This was the official Supergirl coming back. The actual cousin of... our favorite Kal-El, our favorite Kryptonian, Frank. And so I was really excited when I heard that Summer Glau was cast as Supergirl. Mm-hmm. And she did not disappoint me. I enjoyed...
No, I think she did a fantastic job.
Yeah, I enjoyed her performance in this.
Yeah.
And Frank, is this the first time we've heard Kryptonian spoken?
No, actually. There was one prior instance that I can recall, which was actually in Smallville Season 7. That's the first time, to my knowledge, that is the first time that Kryptonium is actually spoken anywhere.
Well, and the George Reed TV show, there was a Kryptonium all over the place. So I don't know what you're smoking.
Yeah,
but.
Oh, yeah.
No, they were speaking English, dude.
That was a joke. Hello.
Here he is.
Excuse me. I'm going to push up my Clark Kent glasses here and give you the nerdy face because
Lois?
It's a small one.
Yeah.
Look,
Well, yeah, I enjoyed. The Kryptonian was weird to hear it spoken after reading it, from the comic.
Yeah.
But so let's get your thoughts, guys. Now, Frank, I know you went to the world premiere, so you had a great experience meeting the cast and the crew and seeing everyone there. What was that experience like?
It was really, really cool. They were clearly really, really into it. Kevin Conroy, who's obviously Batman, was there, as well as Andrea Romano, who's the voice casting director and the voice director. So she both casts the talent and works with them hands-on. And she's been doing it for as long since Batman the Animated Series. So they've both been with DC for at least 19 years. And she has a
little cameo in the film as well.
She does. Yes, she does. She plays both the news announcer at the beginning, and also she plays Stampa, one of the female Furies. But yeah, they were both there. They were really nice and really, really happy to meet the fans and the press. They were really, really great talking to us and the press. They were very open. They wanted to talk for as much as they could. You know, their handlers were kind of pushing them along. The WB reps were pushing them along to get to everybody. But they wanted – Kevin Conroy wanted to just go on and on and on. He was so great and so open. And it was just really cool to meet Kevin Conroy, who I have known as the voice of Batman for my entire life. I mean, when Batman the Animated Series started, I was like two. So it's been the only animated Batman that I've ever really accepted. Oftentimes when I'm reading a Batman comic, his is the voice that I hear. So pretty influential for me to meet him and talk to him and get to shake his hand and just say thank you for all his years of contributions you've made to the DCU. And same with Andrea Romano, because she's equally responsible for those contributions. I don't think the DC Animated Universe would be the same without her contributions. So I really wanted to thank her. I really appreciate her work, too. And they were both just very gracious and very willing to talk with us for a long time. And then after the press meeting on the red carpet, there was the premiere of the film, which was outstanding. The audience loved it. Many people called it their new favorite. And then after the film, we got to have a Q&A, a panel with Andrea and Kevin. And it was really, really cool. The discussion focused mainly on Batman the Animated Series. That's what most people were in the audience were asking about. But
yeah,
there was some really
Kevin
cool stories
there.
Yeah, exactly. Both of them. You know, it makes sense. Had Tim Daly or someone else been there, then maybe the discussion would have focused more on the DC Animated Universe as a whole. But as it was, we were focusing mostly on Batman. And it was a really great discussion. You know, there were standard questions like what's your favorite episode, or, you know, but then there were also questions like, you know, what was the moment that you really realized how much of an impact your Batman voice had on people? And Kevin Conroy shared a really great story where after 9/11, he lives in New York. Does a lot of stage work and stuff. And he went down to Ground Zero to volunteer in like a little shelter they'd set up to cook for the firemen and the rescue workers and the police who were doing the rescue effort at Ground Zero. And he didn't mention who he was or anything. He just went there and started working. And when they found out who he was, they didn't believe him. So he started doing the voice, and the entire place goes silent. Mm-hmm. And then one of the cops just exclaims, well, with the F word. And that was it. So, I mean, a great, like, kind of inspiring story. Like, these cops were like, whoa, like, we know who you are. Like, just from his name, they were like, yeah, you have the same name as that Batman guy. He's like, actually, that's me. And they were like, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, so some really great stories came out of that discussion. And it was I was really glad to be able to go. It was really fun as a fan, and it was cool to go as press. And,
yeah, we know Hunter Camp was definitely
really,
jealous.
Really outstanding event.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
I would have snuck you in if I could in my suitcase or something.
So when you saw this world premiere, Mr. Frank Ramblings, mm-hmm. what were your thoughts on the actual film itself?
I really, really enjoyed it. I've seen it twice now, and the first time I saw it before the event, and it was I enjoyed it, but I felt like I needed to see it again to really absorb it. I really was struck by the acting was great to hear. Kevin Conner and Tim Daly was, of course, always a pleasure, of course. That always makes you really happy, especially Tim Daly, because I'm such a big Superman fan. Summer Glau, I was really impressed with her because she didn't sound like herself. This is her first voiceover work that she's ever done. And I, you know, I knew it was her going in, and then I was really struck throughout the whole movie that it didn't sound like her. I was almost like waiting for a moment where she would sound like herself, but it didn't really ever come along. And I was really impressed with that. I thought that she kind of went out of her comfort zone a little bit, and that was really cool. I give her a lot of credit for that. I thought they did a really good job with the execution. They stayed pretty close to the source material, which I really appreciated because I always like it to be as accurate as possible. I love that they used the Michael Turner art style in general, you know? So I was really impressed with it. And especially on the second viewing, I was really impressed with it. And it was really special to see the fan reactions. Because usually when I watch this, these animated features, I'm watching it, you know, alone or maybe with one or two other friends. But usually the first time it's just me alone, kind of with my TV. So it's just my own reactions and whatever I read online. This time I got to see people's reactions on the fly. Like whenever there was a joke, everyone laughed. And whenever Batman did something really, really awesome, everyone was cheering. And it was really cool because it was more of a movie experience rather than an at-home Saturday morning cartoon type of experience, for lack of a better term. So it was a really good movie. I really liked it, and I can't wait to watch it again.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Hunter Camp.
Yes.
You previously enjoyed the Public Enemies movie, so what did you think about this second Superman Batman film?
I liked it a lot. I hope they keep with, you know, I don't know if I want them to keep going off the storylines that are going that are in the Superman Batman series, but I like that they're kind of setting up their own universe with the same voice actors. To kind of keep it in comic book based and like pick up where they left off. I really like that a lot. I'd say that I probably enjoyed this one more than Public Enemies. With Public Enemies, it was more of an action based movie, which was a lot of fun. But I feel like the storyline really was a lot better in this, and I think that it was more engaging, I think, than Public Enemies.
Interesting, Hunter Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and Batman was totally awesome throughout the whole thing, so there's that.
Well, I would say Batman was, but he was in a far less of a role than I would have liked him to be. This is a much more of a Superman and Superman family story because it deals with Supergirl to a great extent, and Darkseid, which is commonly thought of as a Superman villain, so it's much more focused on the Superman side than it is the Batman side. And I almost felt like Batman, a lot of times I felt like there was a disservice being done to him and it being called Superman Batman. But of course it is based on the actual comic story, which
My take on that is that, like, you know, he may have been in a little bit of a supporting role overall. But the parts that he had throughout the movie, were so incredibly awesome. Like, there wasn't like one part that anything that Batman did in the whole entire movie that I was like kind of disappointed with, you know? Yeah. Like, it was just like you can have too much of a good thing. So with this, it was kind of like it was perfectly spaced out, and everything that he did was just like, that was cool, you know? So I think that it worked well to do it that way.
For me personally, I would have liked more Batman, but that's just kind of.
I mean, you're right. I mean, more Batman is always good. So
true that, Hunter Camp.
Yep.
I think out of all of us, I liked this the least. I think I prefer the Public Enemies, film overall, and I think a number of reasons. One, the actual Lex Luthor voice from the animated Superman, the animated series.
Yeah.
Clancy Brown.
Yes, who I love. I think that's one of the added reasons to it. I also think that the art style in Public Enemies more closely resembled the art style from the comic than this did. I felt like I said, Michael Turner is one of my favorite artists, and I don't think that they did. I don't think they did.
It didn't translate very
well. It didn't. For me, I felt like, man, I'd much rather be reading the comic and seeing Michael Turner's art than the art style that I saw in the movie. So that, to me, I felt like they did a better job of representing the art style in Public Enemies than they did in this one. And I felt like the action component of Public Enemies was more enjoyable to me than the action in this one. So that those were some of the things that stuck out to me. I felt like there were flashes of the Michael Turner art that I knew, but it wasn't completely throughout the movie.
Yeah, but there were certain shots, I think, that really kind of captured that style perfectly. Mm-hmm. Like, specifically for me, with when Kara was on Apocalypse, it was kind of in that role, the evil role, I guess. I felt like that some of the close-ups there really, really did it justice. But like overall, I agree with you completely.
Yeah. You know what I didn't understand? Supergirl can fly, but she falls over in high heels. I don't get it, guys. She would have just, if she was falling, she would have just hovered above the ground. That's what I think. So that was, it was a funny.
And then Clark would have damage control to do.
Yeah. Well,
you didn't just see that.
Yeah. Mm. That was something that, you know, it was a funny scene, but I just, when I was thinking about it, I was like, wait a minute, what did that happen? But I did like that whole sequence of her shopping on Earth for the first time.
It's a fun sequence. I just felt like it was a little bit long in the movie.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, like a couple of shots longer than it needed to be. Mm-hmm. But it is a very funny way of driving that point home.
Yeah.
I agree with you guys to a certain extent about the art. I mean, I was really happy that they were going after the Michael Turner art. Justin, I agree Public Enemies did a better job of capturing Ed McGuinness than this did maybe of capturing Michael Turner. Mm-hmm. But my biggest problem with the animation was I felt like they cut some corners in the animation in a lot of ways. Some things looked a little bit, didn't look as fluid as they should and as they have in the past. I think the Wonder Woman one looked really pretty realistic as far as the animation went. Like the motion was very fluid and things, it was a very easy sell for me. And this came a little bit short on that front.
Speaking of Wonder Woman, we should say that Susan Eisenberg does reprise her role from the animated. So that's another one that kind of keeping in that universe. So that mm-hmm. I thought that was cool. And Ed Asner as Granny Goodness as well.
Yes.
So those were all holdovers from the animated series, which, as Hunter pointed out, I like it when they can have that cohesive universe. So
I love it.
That was cool. And yeah, I mean, the thing about these adaptations, and we've talked about this a number of times on the podcasts that we've done in the past, I feel like these adaptations, while they're fun for me, they're not as fulfilling as a totally unique story because I already know exactly what's going to happen. And in all these adaptations where I've read the comic book, for me, they don't quite fulfill me. Because, like I said, because I already know what's going to happen. So there isn't that element of surprise or, you know, wonder or mystery, or, like, what's going to happen next. So that's kind of, whenever there's an adaptation, it's a little bit less for me than a totally unique story would be.
And see, I'm the other way because I like the different interpretation. I like how they take it. I felt like the adaptations are stronger movies overall than the ones that aren't, with the exception of Wonder Woman. Like,
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah, because Wonder Woman was fantastic. But, like, the Green Lantern one wasn't that great, you know? And that was not an adaptation. The Crisis on Two Earths wasn't really an adaptation, and I felt that wasn't as good as, you know,
Both of those examples, I feel like they tried to take elements of stories and throw them in there in different combinations rather than being completely original. See, I want just a totally original, not based on any story, not a hint of any story, not you know, because with the Crisis on Tours, you had the Grant Morrison thing, and then with the Green Lantern, it was kind of like a Sinestro core, and it was too much padded into it, like thrown into it, that rather than just being a totally, you know, being unique to the medium of animation, rather than okay, well, it worked in the comic, so let's take it and throw it in this movie. Mm-hmm. That's the way that I.
But I mean, there's still plenty of people that are watching it that haven't read the comics.
Yeah, and that's what it's good. That's true. Like, yeah. I have my little nephew, and he's been watching all of these, and he hasn't read any of the comics, but they've kind of inspired him to try to seek out the comics, and so that's, I feel great for people like that who haven't experienced it, but for, just on my own personal enjoyment level, like I said, once if I know everything that's going to happen, it's kind of like when. I just recently saw Let Me In, which was a remake of Let the Right One In, and it was almost shot for shot the same movie, and I already knew everything that was going to happen, and it was still fun seeing Chloe Moretz, who I love as an actress, seeing her interpretation of it, but at the same time, it was almost the exact same movie as the original Swedish film. So it's another thing where I feel like it's great that you're able to expose it to a larger audience and people who would have never have seen a foreign film, or like in this case with the animation, there's a lot of people in this country that won't read a comic book or don't know where to buy a comic book. So the animation will reach a much bigger audience. And I'm glad about that. But for someone like myself who has already read the source material, like I said, I really, at this point, I kind of crave newness and stuff that I have not experienced before, so that's kind of my own personal kind of.
Well, I feel like it's almost like they're able to set up a lot of these storylines, and then they might go the route of going original. But I mean, with going original, I mean that's investing a lot more into it than they have to, because I mean, it's like they're trying to do movies, all like feature films, also. So. I mean, well, it's like, where do you go with that?
You know what I love is with these DC movies, they've been doing these showcases, which are the
The showcases are awesome.
Yeah, they're the
those are great
little short 10-minute features of little characters that you don't necessarily need a 90-minute or what an 80-minute movie on a Jonah Hex or a Green Arrow, so they can just throw these quick 10-minute things in. And I've been enjoying all of these for the most part. And on this one. Like I said, it was Green Arrow. What did you guys think about this one in particular?
Frank?
I actually have not seen it yet.
Ah.
Oh.
So I will defer to Mr. Hunter.
Well, I really enjoyed it. I haven't been disappointed with a single one of the features. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was as invested or as interested in this one as much, but that doesn't take away from it. It's still fantastic.
So fantastic. For me, the Jonah Hex one has been my favorite one.
I really, really, really enjoyed the Spectre one. Mm. I think that because I mean that was the first one. Mm-hmm. It surprised me. It was the amount of, you know, what they actually did in it was insane. You know, like the murder aspects, the fact that it was the Spectre. It's like they came out as serious as possible with it. And I thought that was awesome. But this one specifically, Green Arrow, it was good, but it was kind of late when I watched it. I think I watched it around like 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't really as invested in it, but it was still done really well. Interesting enough for me to stay awake through it, I guess, for those 10 minutes. at that point, I don't mean that. I mean, that sounds like a backhanded compliment. But I mean, you know, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. It kept me awake, so that's something to say, you know.
And each one of these animated ones, they've been able to get some high-profile actors, and Green Arrow is no exception. They had Neil McDonough who's playing the role of Green Arrow, and he's rumored to be playing Dum Dum Dugan in the Captain America movie coming up here. And he's been in Desperate Housewives and a whole bunch of other things. If you've seen his face, I'm sure you'll recognize him. I know he was in Frank's favorite movie, the Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li. He played Bison right next to Kristen Crook. so that was for Frank.
But the funny thing is he has probably seen that. So
Frank is
for that reason.
I can neither confirm nor deny that I have seen everything Kristen Crook has ever done.
That is correct. Malcolm McDowell played Merlin. Who it was interesting because I had just watched Smallville Season 9 – The similar character. Frank, do you remember what's the character's name in Smallville? He's kind of the opposite of Green Arrow, the master. It was like,
oh God, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, I can't remember. I thought it was Merlin. Exactly what you're talking about.
No, it was, he's similar to Merlin, because when I watched it on Smallville, I went straight to Wikipedia and looked up the character, and they said that that character, he's pretty much Merlin, but they call him something else, and he's not exactly Merlin. So when I saw this short, I was like, oh yeah, there's the character that the Smallville character was based off of. So I think it starts with a V. I'm not 100% sure. I could look it up. I have the internet.
Yeah, I remember the episode is Disciple. I just can't remember the character's name. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah. So that was, it was fun to see that kind of as I was watching Smallville right next to it. Gray Delisle, she played Black Canary, and she's been in a number of things. And the one that I, John DiMaggio as well, but the one that I kind of latched on to was the little girl, the princess. She was played by Ariel Winter, who is on Modern Family. Hunter, do you watch Modern Family?
I've just recently started to watch Modern Family, but the character's name was Vortigern.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Oh, there it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, IMDb, for that information.
Yeah.
The Dark Archer, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So it was cool to see him in this as well. And John DiMaggio was, of course, he's been in a ton of things. He plays Bender in Futurama, and
he's,
if you're a Gears of War fan, he's been in that. He's got an awesome
Keep
voice.
Going. Keep going.
He's also on Batman: Brave and the Bold.
Yep.
He played Aquaman, Gorilla Grodd, and some other people. Faceless Hunter. Oh, Faceless and Hunter.
Yep, that's me.
Keep going.
He's also in Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, the video game. He played Hammerhead.
And did you mention the fact that he was the Joker in the last animated?
In Batman Under the Red Hood, he was the Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's an accomplished voice actor. For you Modern Family fans out there, Ariel Winter is the younger girl that wears the glasses. So that's who the little... They kind of... I think they digitally altered her voice to give it a higher pitch. The Green Arrow short was enjoyable. It's basically just Green Arrow has to protect a little girl from these assassins at an airport. So it's kind of an interesting backdrop of fighting in an airport. So I enjoyed it for what it was. But like I said, it doesn't top the Jonah Hex one for me. So that was interesting. Now, speaking of the special features on Superman Batman Apocalypse, as with all these DC animated, Bruce Timm picks some of his personal favorites. So for this one, they had, from Superman the Animated Series, Little Girl Lost, Parts 1 and 2, and Apocalypse Now, Part 1 and 2. Hunter Camp, do you ever watch these?
Yes, I do. I haven't had a chance to watch it for this one yet, though.
Normally, I'll take a look at them just to kind of refresh my memory. But then once I see that they're not in widescreen and...
Well, yeah, I mean, I know that. But I mean, at the same time, that would mean that I can't watch my, you know, Batman the Animated Series DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
I can't live by that rule, Justin.
Well, as soon as you're ready to take that Vaseline out of your eyes, I'll be there to show you HD wonders of other things.
Yes, no, I understand that. But what I'm saying is they don't offer, like, those... at this point, none of those are offered in HD quality. Yeah.
Well, take that, Hunter Camp.
There's Except for, some... what was it? Like, the first season of Justice League?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Which...
That's it?
Yeah. And then they just stopped. They were putting them out on Blu-ray, and then they just stopped.
Yep.
So, DC get with that, and Warner Brothers get with that. There's also some trailers for some previous movies. The Public Enemies movie we talked about, Under the Red Hood, Crisis on Two Earths, the Jonah Hex motion comic, and Lego Universe. And the things that I found most enjoyable, there's four special features, or featurettes, I should say. Although one of them, I talked to Frank about this, was Supergirl, the Last Daughter of Krypton. And I was all ready for it to be a brand new featurette. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be good, Supergirl, because I like that character. And then when it first came on, I was like, okay, this music sounds familiar. This opening sounds, or looks familiar. And then I realized it's the exact same featurette from the Smallville season when they introduced Supergirl. Was that 7 or 8?
7. Okay. Such a huge disappointment they did that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's like they already have three different ones that are brand new.
I know.
I know. So
it doesn't really
that,
take away. And it's like, what else are they going to add other than Summer Glau talking? You know,
I would like
Summer
to see
Glau
that.
Talking.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but I mean, come on, guys. I understand that.
No, it's relevant to this film.
Yeah. I understand, but it was also relevant to season 7 of Smallville.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, they're not going to add. There's not going to be a lot to add.
Well, I would have rather them just do a sit-down interview with Summer Glau by herself, Hunter Camp.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
And actually, I was talking to Frank off microphone about this as well. I'm also disappointed that they don't include more of the things with the actors and film them doing their voices, because that's something, as an animation fan, I always love going into the special features and seeing the actors playing their parts. And they really only do that when they're looking ahead to the next film, but they don't, the actual film itself, they don't normally put the special feature of the actors on there. So that's something that I'm always disappointed by. But they have, for this one, a look ahead, a sneak peek at All-Star Superman, and they have some of the actors on there, which I was thrilled about.
Is Tim Daly playing Superman in that?
No.
Nope.
It's another I can see his face, but he's... I know you guys are big Desperate Housewives fans.
Sure.
He's on there. He's got a pretty good voice. He's no Tim Daly. Tim Daly is always going to be my Superman, but I'm kind of happy with who they have, because they have him, and then they have, and now I'm blanking on her name, Christina Hendricks.
Christina Hendricks, yeah.
And also Firefly. She's going to be playing Lois Lane.
Don't forget about Undressed from MTV.
Oh, okay.
She was that too.
Yeah. The one episode, Hunter Camp. Well, I like her on Mad Men. I like her as an actress. And her voice really fits Lois. So I was really excited about that. Let me see if I can find... Oh, and Anthony LaPaglia?
He's
going to be doing Lex Luthor. And I like his take on Lex Luthor. Actually, Ed Asner's coming back, guys. He's going to be playing Perry White.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds
good. James Denton. Is
James Denton. Yeah.
And he's, like I said, I like him as an actor and I like his voice. And he's got kind of a more a tender side to him, Hunter Camp. So I think you'll like that. And guess what, Hunter Camp?
What?
He's from Nashville, Tennessee.
I'm not from Nashville, Tennessee. So, okay.
All of those listening, Hunter Camp is from a small suburb of...
No. I'm from Jackson, Mississippi.
Called Murfreesboro.
I live in a quote-unquote small suburb outside of Nashville.
Well, guess what? James Denton grew up in Godletsville, Tennessee.
Yeah, I know. I've heard him on the radio around here.
And he attended the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, Hunter Camp.
Oh, I wonder where that
Hunter is not impressed.
So
Hunter is not impressed.
Hunter Camp, this is someone he's... done many nights stalking, so that's about that.
Yep.
So yeah, but this is scheduled to come out in February.
Yes.
Same director, Sam Liu, as some of the other previous ones that we've talked about, and Dwayne McDuffie is going to be writing the screenplay.
Awesome.
So,
Andrea Romano at the premiere, someone asked her about, you know, how do you always end up casting Firefly alumni. So I don't do it on purpose. It just happens. And, you know, she mentioned Summer Glau and Nathan Fillion and you know, a whole bunch of other people. And then someone asked her,
oh, so
well, then she get, well, Nathan Fillion has a very successful series right now.
And that he's also not in, he was in Wonder Woman. What else was he in?
Yeah.
Was there anything else?
DC Animated? I don't think so, no. No.
Right. Well, there you go. Wonder Woman had before Castle.
Yes, it did. All right. Fine. But as I was saying before, I was so rudely interrupted.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
No. I know. we'll just write it off the Skype delay. But yeah. And then someone said, oh, can you tell us a little bit about Batman Year One that's coming out soon? She said, actually, I can't talk about that yet. Okay. How about the Green Lantern feature that's coming out? No, I can't talk about that either. I could talk about All-Star Superman. And she starts going on and on about, oh, you know, Christina Hendricks, and then someone interrupts her. Oh, you know, she's in Mad Men too, and she's like, "Yep, there." Firefly too. Yep, there you go.
Yeah,
if Kevin Conroy is not in Batman Year One, I'm going to be very, very upset. I'm just going to go out and say that.
That was actually the question that someone asked: Is Kevin reprising the role, or are you going to have a younger voice? And she wouldn't answer because she's not allowed to yet. I have a feeling it's not going to be him, but
I'm not happy about that.
Yeah, the IMDb has that release date September 27th of 2011, And it also has okay. It's going to be the same director, apparently, Sam Loop. So he's going to be doing All-Star Superman and Batman Year One. So we have some good animation things to look forward to. Although,
you know, speaking of All-Star Superman, that is the Comics of Doom of Month.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
Yes, I think that this might be a good time to mention that.
Well, why don't you tell us about that, Hunter Camp?
Well, guys, we have a little thing called the Doom of the Month, and we'll be dooming All-Star Superman Woo! Where we talk about the entire series. So we're going to be enjoying that, and hopefully you will be too. Check your feed soon, fellas.
Oh, yeah.
And fellas.
Linda Cardellini is going to be in All-Star Superman as well, and she is my Velma, boys.
Yeah.
She looked good. All right.
She did.
So, yeah, I think overall, Superman, Batman, Apocalypse was... Oh, I didn't even mention the other special features. I'm sorry. The special features that I really enjoyed were the Fourth World, the New Gods, and then there was two little short things on Mr. Miracle and Orion. But just learning about the... Like, I don't have a large history or knowledge base of the New Gods, so this was a nice... It was entertaining and informative for me, learning about Jack Kirby and learning about the New Gods and how they kind of fit into the current and previous DC universes. So I was very much enthralled in that one, and I was telling Hunter Camp about it as I was watching it. So Hunter Camp, what did you think about that?
I really liked them. I haven't had a lot of experience with the New Gods either, but the experience I have had, I really enjoyed a lot. So it's always something that's very fascinating to me. You know, Jack Kirby creates worlds. So the way he created the New Gods with the Fourth World stuff, and even like integrated some of the Jimmy Olsen stuff that he was writing at the same time, is all very, very fascinating to me. Like I said, I've loved what I've read. So to see this was really cool. And one of the things to try to explain the New Gods to somebody just like by talking to him, it's a very, very difficult process. And whoever is talking about it doesn't sound like they live on the same planet as a normal person. So
right.
The funny thing about this is I was actually watching it. Like this, my wife got home from work at like, you know, really late. And I was watching it when she got home, and she walked in and she like walked by the TV and heard what they were saying. And she was like, "What is this?" And I was like, "It's the New Gods." Like comics, everybody. Yeah. So
right.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's very crazy, but I think that if you're really into science fiction, if you haven't read New God stuff or, you know, haven't watched these special features, I think that it's really, really beneficial.
Yeah, definitely anyone who's new to the DC universe and wants to know more, this is a great place to go to.
And you know, and like you said, for anybody that doesn't have a whole lot of experience with the New Gods too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like we could all have read everything from or all the main stuff since Crisis on Infinite Earths, and there's still not a lot of New God stuff in the main DC universe. So,
yeah. I did want to point out, now, Frank, I don't know if you noticed this, but our big blue boy scout said a naughty word in this movie, and I thought that was interesting. He said, go ahead.
I want to hear you say it. Go ahead.
He said another word for a hunter camp.
Which one? I believe he said ass, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it sounds like, Frank, you don't have a problem with Superman saying naughty words, is this correct?
calling Batman grumpy ass or whatever it was. No, I don't have a problem with that because that's just funny.
Yes.
But
it was also you have to take into consideration the context of the dialogue.
Yes.
Because I mean,
Kara said it.
Yeah, and then he was like, you know. Basically, what it equaled out to, well, he's my grumping ass.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. So, exactly. If it were anything other than that, I would have a problem with it, most likely.
Yeah.
But I didn't in this case.
All right. So these guys want another Kevin Smith Batman on our hands.
That is not the same thing. It is nowhere near the same thing.
Superman had diarrhea in his suit, guys.
No,
that's
no. That is not.
Right. You know what?
I mean, it's not like he got Lois Lane pregnant when they weren't married or anything.
All right. And they kissed and they forgot about it. All right. So I think that's a nice discussion of Superman, Batman, Apocalypse. I thought it was okay, and I like that it brings it to a wider audience. But for my money, I'll stick to rereading the comic series, the original story that this is adapted from. But I thought it was a nice mix of, you know, enjoyable story, acting, nice action in there as well. I enjoyed it. So, Hunter Camp, what did you think about Superman Batman Apocalypse?
I loved it. It's one of my favorites.
And Mr. Super Frank himself?
I enjoyed it too. I mean, I would still prefer to read the comic. That's almost always the case. But I really enjoyed this as an animated adaptation.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I did want to say, I forgot to mention this. I did really like the title sequence that opened the movie.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
Except for the Supergirl, which was the very last part. I did not enjoy that piece of it.
That was a little weird, yeah.
And it, you know what it felt like? That, you remember the Justice League opening where they had each
of them? Hell yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah, yeah.
Each one, you could see the outline of them, and they, you know, you could tell who it was. Like, you could, okay, that's Superman, that's Batman, that's Flash. But at the same time, to me, that title sequence always felt unfinished to me. I felt like that they were really early character models, and they just never put the polish on them. But that's kind of how I felt with the Supergirl at the end. But everything else,
haters gonna hate.
Everything else, Hunter Camp, Grumpy Hunter. Everything else, I enjoyed about the opening title sequence. So, I think that's a good discussion. We would like to thank Mr. Super Frank for coming on and giving his thoughts. We are always, you know, anytime Superman is involved, we need to get Super Frank involved, because he is a big time Superman fanatic. So thank you for joining us, Frank.
Thank you, guys.
Would you like to tell anyone where they could find you on the internet, or if there's any other perhaps superhero related projects you have coming down the pipe?
Nothing yet that we're ready to announce. Woo! Really, other than Bubble Audio. Bubble Audio is definitely the big one, the big superhero thing. Thepolodio.com. Justin, you and I do a podcast together, if anyone's interested.
We do.
Tech Ramblings.
We're
on the iTunes. No one is, yeah. Hunter's been on it, too. Don't listen to this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah. That's how much he loves us. But, yeah, other than that, twitter.com/FrankRamblings or frankramblings.com.
Excellent, my friend.
If you want his phone number, I got that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Give his phone number out later. But we will be back. For the next DC animated movie, which is All-Star Superman the next one?
I think it is.
I believe so.
So that's going to be in February. So we got a ways to go, boys. But Frank, would you like to join us when that movie comes out?
I'll be here.
All right. Hunter Camp would like to thank InStock Trades for sponsoring this episode, as they do every episode. You can get some great deals on all your comics over there, including the Superman Batman storyline, which I guess is it Superman Batman Supergirl?
That's right.
Is that the name of it? That is the comic that this movie is based off of. So don't forget, you can always check out InStockTrades.com and their sister site, DCB Service, for sales and savings on all your comic book needs, my friends. And until next time, look up in the sky. It's a Hunter. It's a Camp.